So first, I guess I wanted to ask you kind of first off, so I can kind of set the background, what brings you to Salt Lake City this weekend and talk a little bit about that opportunity.
Well, this is the 150th anniversary of the Episcopal Diocese here, and so it's a celebration both for Episcopalians here, but for Salt Lake and for Utah. I mean, our story as Episcopalians here is tied up with the life and the history of Utah and good relationships ecumenically, and just some remarkable stuff. So it's exciting to be here for the celebration.
150 years is just incredible. And
It sure
Utah
is.
really isn't that old. So it's been here since the
It's been
beginning.
here. Yeah, and the cathedral here, Cathedral St. Mark, someone was telling me earlier, is the oldest cathedral church established as a cathedral in the U.S.
Wow, I did
I
not
think
know
it's
that.
1870, or did they say 18?
In the Episcopal Church,
In the Episcopal Church, I mean. Oh, yeah, in the Episcopal Church, yeah.
Right, right,
But I think
right.
it's like 1870 or something like that. So
Wow, that's
really,
great.
there is deep rooted here.
Beautiful cathedral. It really
Yeah.
is. And so for this whole 150th, things kind of lasting all weekend for this group and
Yeah,
family?
it's through the weekend, and I know they've been doing things all year long, and you can see the baseball caps with the
Yeah.
150
And the pins. It's
and the
just
pins. Oh yeah,
it's
it's
really
great. It's
cool.
exciting.
I know. Well, and I would hope, is kind of Salt Lake City a little close to your heart because it was 2 years ago when you were here for convention and
Yeah.
this all came about for
Here
you.
at Salt Lake. Oh yeah. Every time I fly in here, it's well, and this is a good community, and I know that the community here is working with and addressing a lot of issues and struggling as we all are, but trying to find good, healthy, creative ways around homelessness, and around issues of just humanitarian concern. And folk are coming together and working at it. You know, that's what matters. If everybody comes together, works at it, creative solutions become possible. And I see you all doing that here.
You've hit on a big topic lately right now, and homelessness is something Salt Lake City's grappling with and trying to find solutions and bringing different people to the table. I think, do you think religious groups and your church have a lot to do in helping with those societal
Sure.
issues?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really do. I think both in our country and around the world, you know, I mean, the truth is, our religious traditions at their best have always been founding hospitals and orphanages. I mean, when you think about humanitarian institutions, a lot of which are now kind of, you know, businesses unto their own, their origins were church folk or religious folk who started them. And then they grew, you know. I mean, so the child outgrows mama, and that's normal. But they grew because the religious impulse, at its best, leads us into a real relationship with God that is loving and liberating and life-giving with God. And if that's really happening with God, it's going to happen with the other children of God that is in ways that are loving, liberating, and life-giving. So those two, a relationship with God leads to a real relationship with other human beings. I mean, the New Testament, who is it, John says, you cannot love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your brother and sister who you have seen. It's intimately related.
Yeah, those first, second, and great commandments are
They're in a bit, that's right.
yes.
They're tied together.
They are. And look at me with goosebumps. You think about, first love God and then love thy neighbor, and it's like they're just completely tied together.
They really are.
Yeah, with everything going on now with refugee, I mean anything.
Right.
And it's all rooted too in the teachings of the Savior. And I wanted to ask you about the Jesus movement and
Oh,
all of
yeah.
that that's going
Oh,
on.
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's just fascinating to think
Yeah.
about.
Well, what's exciting about it is really it's this is a recovery of who we are as Christians anyway. But sometimes the longer you're around, it's easy to kind of stray from the deep core and the origins. It's sort of like the New Testament in Revelation talks about remember your first love. Remember, you know what I mean? To what was the original fire that got you where you are? And the original fire was, I mean, New Testament scholars actually sometimes talk about the early days of Christian origins as the Jesus movement, because it wasn't an institution. It was a movement within Judaism that became a movement within the Greco-Roman world, and had all the characteristics of a movement. It eventually took on institutional form and shape, but that took a long time. When you look at the New Testament and The letters of Paul were letters circulating around to various churches, and you see different ways of organizing. There's no single way of organizing the church. I mean, you had bishops in one place, and you had presbyters in another, and you had deacons all over the place, you know. I mean, but it had different institutional organizational forms because it wasn't a structured institution. It was a movement. And Jesus gathered a group of people around himself, around him, who eventually learned that his way of life could become their way of life, and their lives in turn could change the world. I believe that the more we recapture that sense of being the movement of people who are gathered around Jesus, around his teachings, around his spirit, and whose lives reflect his life, then we as Christians actually make a difference that matters in the world.
Oh my goodness. Because we are supposed to take upon ourselves the name of Christ, and we're going as a Christian, and we get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like sometimes organized religion can kind of get into the organization of it all?
Sure.
And not
sure.
The discipleship of it.
Sure. That's it's human. That's part of any human. And actually, I mean, one of the reasons that the Protestant Reformation was good in the sense that it was a reformation. The church needed to reform itself. One of the insights of the Reformation tradition is that the church, if it's to be faithful, must always be reforming itself. Mm-hmm. Reforming itself in conformity, not to the world around it, but to the Jesus who called it in the first place. And that's what Reformation, it is about going back to who you really are, to your origins, to your roots, to who you really are, and then living out of that. And that changes everything. It's exciting and it's wonderful. And I mean, I'm just grateful Episcopalians and the Episcopal Church are really trying to engage that, saying, well, how do we live that? How do we do that? And that's good. And I have to admit, the Holy Spirit will take it and run with it. And Episcopalians will jump on and we'll be better off in the long run.
Oh, definitely. I also wanted to ask you about millennials today. It feels like some say they're kind of drifting away from faith or from any sort of organized religion or testimony. How can we get millennials into a better relationship with God? Or how do we, I don't want to fill pews necessarily, but right. Is that right. Something that's a challenge right. as well?
Yeah, I think the statistics nationally, I mean, are fairly clear that the number of people who identify themselves as unaffiliated since 1991, after that 1990 census, I mean, has jumped exponentially. It's now upwards of 25% of the population, when it was like, 10% maybe, 7 or 10% in 91. I mean, it was not statistically significant. Now it is. And among those in the ages from 18 to 30, roughly, or something like that, it's more than 25%. It's in the 30s. Now, what that means is that the trends of those who identify themselves as not affiliated with any religious tradition, and not just Christian, just any religious tradition, that's increasing. So there is a secularization that is happening in American society, but there's also a spiritualization, too. Because now spirituality is not a bad word. Religion may be a complicated word for people, but spirituality is not. Now, what that tells you is actually the hope. Because what that means is hearts and people are still searching for a relationship with their creator, with the source of their lives. That's the spiritual quest. That is the ultimate spiritual quest. And so whether you're talking about a millennial or whether you're talking about a boomer, a Gen Xer, or a World War II generation, whether you're talking about somebody age 8 or age 80, the human heart longs for its creator and will not be at rest and peace until it finds its rest in God. And so that gives zest to our work. We've got work to do to help folk find their way to God, and, you know, they may do it differently than I would do it at 63, but that's okay. Our job is to help them find their way back to God. And if folk really find their way back to the real God who is, you know, we see him in Jesus, who is, you look at Jesus, he loves folk. And that love sets folk free. And that love that freedom creates real life. If that happens in our relationship with God and with each other, imagine what our politics would be like. Uh-huh. It's a world changer.
Completely.
It really is. Yes. It really is.
Oh, you've left me with hope, though. I love this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to make it. Oh, no. We'll make it. Yeah.
We're going to change the world. I have hope again.
Yep.
Well, this is great. I've already talked to you for 10 minutes, and my story will shrink, and it's your time to go eat.
Okay.
But I so appreciate your time.
Thank you. Now, what channel? I'll write it down so I can listen.
Let me see if I have a card somewhere.